Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by the Pelican House, 2572 City Place Court, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. All you people in the Baton Rouge area, we are praying for you. Denham Springs got hit hard. We're thinking of you, but the Pelican House, they're awesome. Go there. They have 136 draft beers. LSU is going to get started.
They're currently open. They're open despite the damage.
And LSU is what, 2 weeks away, right? Or... Three weeks away. 3 weeks away.
Yeah.
So you got 3 weeks to LSU football. Go to the Pelican House. You got Saints preseason. If you're in Baton Rouge, you can get out there. The Pelican House, they're awesome. 2572 City Place Court, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. You should support them because they support us. All right.
I'm feeling pretty good, by the way, about that LSU-Wisconsin game.
Yeah, I am too.
I think that's going to be a blowout for the Tigers.
I think they're going to dump truck Wisconsin and move up high in the rankings. They'll break our heart later. All right.
No spread is high enough for me not to bet the over.
All right. So, Kevin, we got Dr. Kevin to come into the studio because if you're a Saints fan, you listen to this podcast, you probably know the Saints have had a lot of injuries lately. And, Kevin, I know you, like Andrew, break down the film every play because you're hardcore about the preseason. But before we get to that, we need to get the medical update. Of course, the big news today, Sheldon Rankins broke his leg. Can you give us an update, recovery time? What's this broken leg situation going to be, Dr. Kevin? How's this going to go?
Well, what I was able to ascertain from my contact in the medical field is that this was a severe injury, a catastrophic injury to the leg. The bone itself, I was unaware that bones could do this, but the bone exploded, and there are shards of the bone that perforated the skin. So it looks like spikes are growing out of his leg. His leg is basically dangling off of the knee. So there is a.
Was he like the guy in?
There's a serious issue with Mr. Rankin. Amputation is a possibility. Let's hope that that's all that there is with that with Mr. Rankin. As for Mr. Anthony, I was told that the calf injury was fine, but what happened was a medical trainer started tending to the wrong side and accidentally jabbed him with a needle, and for whatever reason that needle got dropped on the ground, and now the other calf got infected with some sort of a bacterium. So
the MERS.
I have not fully confirmed that it is staff. I am working to confirm that right now. I have to talk to my pal Sanjay Gupta and the guy in that Life Alert ad. I think he's still alive, so I got to talk to him.
So he was a Surgeon General. He's on intravenous antibiotics currently.
The problem is he has to be laid at a 45 degree angle head down because they have to get all the blood out of his legs.
Oh.
And they have to sort of empty the blood as it comes through his hip.
Yeah. My favorite part about this segment is the Trapper John music underneath Kevin. Like six of our fans that are over the age of 55 will be like, Trapper John, yeah! I can start Kevin.
Dude, I'm 35 and I love Trapper John.
I can start calling you Dr. Gonzo. So Andrew, it's not. I mean, it's not terrible, right? I mean, it could have been worse news, obviously. But here's, you know,
I don't know. I kind of straddle the fence on that. I mean, on one hand, I think when you hear carted off, your immediate fear is ACL, MCL, something that would cost them the season. So you know, it's a combination, I think, of relief, just because it's not something where he would, you know, miss the entire year. At the same time, he broke his freaking leg. It's a major injury. It's significant. And so, you know, I think it's a little bit foolish to think he would just be fine in 6 weeks, because he's getting surgery and there's going to be scar tissue and rehab and physical therapy. Mm-hmm. And there's going to take time to get strength back in the leg. And you know, it'd be one thing if he was just a runner or a guy that, you know, a normal person, you know, a layman, but you know, he's got to get that leg ready for being in the trenches, taking hits on it, being at the bottom of a pile again. And, you know, I think it's tough when you're in the NFL, just when you haven't been working that leg out for 6 weeks, or 4 weeks, whatever the case may be, to get the strength back in it to where it's ready to take those hits. So, I don't know how much he's going to play or how effective he could be, but I know for the next 6 weeks he's not going to be playing games or getting reps, and so that makes it tough.
Well, isn't it a
problem? Yeah, if there's one thing I tell my friends, and my friends will attest to, it sucks being at the bottom of a pile.
I mean, here's the thing that isn't totally horrible about it. They have some depth at defensive line, Andrew, with the additions and the bye week's early. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's fair to say that the bye week, the Saints bye week, is the fourth week, right?
Well, I think they play four games.
So the bye is after 4 weeks. So
yes.
So you figure they might be able to get, if he's good to go after 7 weeks, let's say, or 8 weeks, they still could get 9 or 10 games out of him. He could still get good 9 or 10 game reps. So, I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
And that's realistic. So maybe the bye week's in a pretty good time for the Saints. You know,
yeah, I mean, I think best case scenario is he plays 12 games. I mean, how many of those is he going to be fully healthy, starting, and effective? I mean, yeah, like you said, maybe 9 or 10.
All right. So we had the Trapper John and MD music, but maybe my favorite thing right now we're going to do is the introduction of the hype train, as people will hear the train in the background with Jay-Z and Kanye West also. So, Andrew, me and you were having a discussion on Saturday as I was driving, and you made a really good argument about Michael Thomas, and you said something that at first I was like, that's insane. But repeat it to everybody. You said you think Michael Thomas potentially could be the best receiver Drew Brees has ever had. And your reasoning was sound and got me really, really excited. So if you could repeat that again.
Yeah, well, I think enough people have seen him now with the vines at practice or the preseason game. And, you know, just seeing him in person, I mean, he looks like, you know, Keyshawn Johnson or guys like that. I mean, just guys that have huge hands, tremendous size, tremendous speed. And, you know, numerous times now I've seen the quarterbacks just kind of throw the ball his way. And it doesn't matter if he's beating his man. It doesn't matter if he's in tight coverage. Just finds a way to come up with the football. And it's pretty rare, the number of guys you see that are able to do that. And, I mean, I look back specifically at two throws that Grayson made in the preseason games, where he kind of just lobbed the ball in Thomas's direction and he comes up with the catch. And so for me, I think you look at all the receivers that were successful in this offense: Meacham, Henderson, Lance Moore, Colston, you know, even Jimmy Graham to an extent, who I would say of all the guys that Brees was paired up with, you know, Graham was probably the one with the most talent. You know, and some of them have dabbled in other offenses, and it hasn't worked out.
Well. Yeah.
No, yeah, and some of it's been age, and some of it's been, you know, maybe the system's just not as good. But,
yep.
You know, clearly in pretty much all of those cases, you know, Lance Moore, Willie Snead, Brees has made those guys.
And I think what separates Thomas from these other guys is I don't think all those guys I just listed have nearly as successful NFL careers if they aren't paired with Drew Brees. Michael Thomas, to me, is a guy that has the talent to where he's kind of going to be successful regardless of what offense
you
put him in.
So,
paired with Brees, it's even like it's on steroids. It's like, wow, this guy could have an enormous career.
So, like, kind of like DeAndre Hopkins, where you can, like, put him with garbage and he can be like, oh my God,
yeah,
he
exactly.
had 1,100 yards and 90 catches. That's frightening. And Kevin.
I'm not ready to say he's that good,
but
I'm ready. I think he's got that kind of potential. Absolutely.
Kevin, on Thursday, my Twitter feed was filled with over $40 in the Happy Hour Podcast League for Michael Thomas, and it was not like one tweet. It was like at least like a dozen. So over under $40.
Under, you knucklehead. I'm telling you, he's not going. Listen, the only way,
yeah, it is.
I'm aware of that. The only way Michael Thomas breaks 20 is if one of you fools does it despite me.
or if Ralph just
makes one of his yearly boneheaded decisions in the auction draft.
It could be that.
Well, you know, the one thing is with Brandon Cooks is another guy I would list as a guy that would be successful without Brees. So. Now all of a sudden you pair those two guys together, and I think Brees has the best tandem of receivers he's ever had in a Saints uniform.
The thing that's interesting, and this is the one real downer of the preseason before the first game, before we get to the other things on the defense that were really good, Andrew, is that's probably going to have to be their solution. Is their outside threats are going to have to be awesome because their offensive line looks awful in the interior. If they get, God help Drew Brees, if they get down 10, 13 points in a game, because Pete, I don't know if you watched the film and you rewatched it and you were even more negative after rewatching it. But here's my question, Andrew, does Pete just suck, or does he suck because the Saints are trying to have him play two and three positions and he's just overwhelmed?
Well, I think, first of all, the majority of what he's played is left tackle. And maybe he's thinking about other stuff, but really at camp, I mean, since training camp started, he's taken some reps at guard, but that's really about it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's really been exclusively at left tackle while Teron Armstead's been out. And he's really only started at guard since that game, since Armstead's come back. So really not much of an excuse. I mean, tackle's his position, and that's where he's been practicing. I think it's 50-50. I think some of it is mental. There were times where he just missed a pickup, and you can tell afterwards he kind of like has this body language that suggests that he's mad at himself or kind of having a brain cramp. And then he lines up against, Chris Long, and then if you watch the tape, I mean, it's pretty clear that's a one-on-one isolated situation where you're just trying to man up with a guy.
Bad situation there.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. But I think it's, I counted, watching that game again, I counted six really negative plays from him in that game that really stood out. And that's a huge cause for concern for me because he's supposed to be the starting right guard. And in that game, at least, he seemed unfit to be a tackle, which is supposed to be his position. So now we're trying to make him play a position that's not really his natural position.
Here's the thing, Kevin, is... The 2015 draft, if Pete's a bust or just a below-average offensive lineman and Kikaha's injured, suddenly that 2015 draft that people were gushing about, two of the first three picks are disasters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Anthony's out for the rest of preseason, potentially.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I listen, at the time of the draft, I was... I was happy with the Pete pick.
Yeah, I was too. I was okay.
I wasn't thrilled with that pick, honestly.
Go ahead, Kevin. What were you going to say? I think Kevin dropped out. Andrew?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
No, that was it.
What was that? Kevin, repeat it. You dropped out there for a second.
I said, no, that was it. That was just me falling on my sword.
Oh, okay. But here's the thing. Andrew, the guard situation, it is potentially fatal. I can talk myself into them being okay without Rankins for 6 to 7 weeks. I can talk myself into the guard situation. There's not going to be an outside solution because they have to keep Jenkins now because of injury, and I don't think Dallas is going to trade Leary. I don't see an outside situation, and I don't see the internal guys getting better. What is the solution if the guards don't markedly get better?
I'm not sure there is one. I think they're kind of stuck. I mean, you know, I think similarly when the guard situation wasn't good last year because Jari Evans was banged up and was a shell of his former self, and Tim Alito and Kelemete, they were kind of rotating, and they tried Pete for a little bit, and that didn't really work, and they went back to Alito, and I think it's going to be a lot of that. You know, I think you know, they might, depending on who's the extra guard. I mean, you know, Joe Cheek is a guy that I've watched that has impressed me here and there. I mean, Landon Turner played okay in that game, so you know, maybe he's a guy that makes the team, and maybe they get a chance down the road. But right now, I think it's pretty clear it's going to be Lolito at left guard and Pete at right guard. That's at least how they're going to start the season.
I had some of the NOLA, the legit media people, come at me with some sharp knives when I said, if the Saints are fiddling at guard and putting weird people like Landon Turner or Joe Allen, he wouldn't be because he was a disaster in the game.
Jack Allen, yeah.
He was a disaster. But if they start fiddling with guys at guard that you haven't seen run with the ones, if they start doing that against the Texans, that means they're in a bit of a panic situation, and they're starting to grasp. And some of the legit media came at me and it's like, no, that could just be a random thing. I'm like, okay, I'm just telling you, if I see Landon Turner getting reps with the ones, I'm gonna be like, they're in a not quite a panic, but they're looking around, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, we knew this going in, and I was surprised. You know, they tried to get Alex Boone in free agency. Yeah. It didn't work out. You know, you and I have talked at length about Sean Payton's dismay at the kid from Stanford, Garnett and Effetti, both going in the first round.
It was deep sadness.
Yeah, you watched Sean Payton's interview where he talks about getting Rankins, and you know, the media is kind of pumping it up, like trying to get him excited about it, and he's like, you can just tell he's visibly disappointed that Effetti and Garnett were gone. And you know, when you see that, you can tell that he was lamenting it, because it was almost like written on his face, there's no other guard in this draft that I like. Those were really the two guys I was hoping to get to improve our interior line, and now I can't do it. And so, you know, I think the coaching staff knew all along that this was a question mark, and we've been talking about it all off season, and it's already starting to rear its ugly head. And unfortunately, I'm not sure they have one good guard on their team, you know, and we were kind of hoping that one would work out.
They can get by with
I don't know that that's going
to
be the case.
They can get by with one bad to mediocre guard. They can't get by with two. But here's the thing, though. Yeah. You can't really knock them if they look in the draft and they're like, we don't like anybody in the draft besides these two guys.
Yeah, I'm not sure that they were ever in a position to land a guy that's better than what they have.
Yeah.
I think ultimately that's why they ended up with what they have. Now, you know, at some point you got to start giving guys like Cheek and Landon Turner a try, or even move Jack Allen to guard and give him a try if the starters aren't going to cut it. But I think Lolito and Kelemete, you know, they've been in this offense for a long time. They know it. They know the playbook. They know the nuances. They have chemistry with the existing guys.
Yep.
So, you know, all that stuff's really important. And so they really need to be the guys playing at least to begin the season.
All right, Kevin, the Saints signed Cortland Finnegan, who is a self-described dirtbag. He described himself as that. He played with the Rams. I remember Miss Tennessee as being a total nuisance asshole type player, but he was actually good. But for the Rams, I remember him getting like burned all the time. Is there anything left with him? Is he just done?
When I saw a video, I can't remember which reporter it was, but somebody shared a video of Cortland Finnegan doing an interview, and I was like, "Oh, what the hell's Cortland Finnegan doing? Wait, he's on the same? Like, I didn't know he was on the team. It blew me away." Because one, I didn't know he was still with a team. Two, he's like you covered it. He's an ass. He's an absolute jackass. That is not the guy that you would, that not one of those guys that you would think would be in a Sean Payton locker room.
Yeah.
And you're right. Like when he was with the Rams, I don't remember him being that good. The biggest contribution I remember him making with the Rams was drawing a penalty on the getting the opposing team to get a personal foul penalty drawn against them, so the Rams could move down the field, so the offense could
get backed up,
get pushed back.
Yeah,
yeah.
You're not explaining this very well, Kevin.
No.
But Andrew, who's he fighting with for a roster spot?
Well, you know, so here's one point I was going to make about this Finnegan signing is. Yeah, I don't know that he's at this stage of his career. Maybe he is worse than Kyle Wilson, but you know he's just another veteran body in camp that's probably not going to make the team. I mean, I liken this signing to Hakeem Nicks, and
will
they're just going to try out
Hakeem,
a veteran.
Will he last longer?
Yeah.
Than Nicks?
Well, we'll see. I don't think so. I mean, I think they're bringing in a veteran who has experience, and he just to kind of have another guy in the mix, and if he dips into the fountain of youth and looks pretty good, then he'll make the team. And if not, they've got some young guys. But I think it's good that they bring in Finnegan, and it'll push these guys, Harris and Crawley, who are seeing a lot of time with the ones, to hopefully that lights a fire under them to perform better. But, man, I'll tell you, the thing that has me excited, you know, as kind of on a positive note, is you look at how much already this defense has been decimated. You look at Stephon Anthony, he's out for a short period. Kikaha, most likely out for the year. Rankins, I mean, we're week five is kind of a best-case scenario, we're thinking, where he's making an impact. And we forget they've lost Jamarcus Sanford and Kyle Wilson, too,
yeah.
Who, you know, they were on the team last year. They were role players. Those were guys they were counting on to come back and at least compete for jobs. So I just listed five guys that you know were kind of either on the roster for sure or fringe 53-man guys, and so that's a lot of injuries when you're trying to rebuild your defense and improve.
Yeah.
But you know, a year ago I would have said it's a death blow. But you look at how this team is set up. You know, they lose Jamarcus Sanford, they pick up Roman Harper. You know, they lose Kyle Wilson, but they've got these UDFA corners that are playing pretty well, and then you've got Cortland Finnegan that comes in. And by the way, Swan and Keenan Lewis are out right now, but you're not really feeling that because PJ Williams is playing pretty well. You know, Delvin Bro was a great pickup a year ago. And then you look at linebacker, they've got so much depth there now with Stupar and Robertson as backups that you're maybe not feeling the Anthony thing quite as much. And then you've got the Fairley pickup, where that kind of mitigates Rankins a little bit. So, like, you go up and down the list, and the Saints really can't afford many more injuries at these positions, but they have set their roster up to absorb these blows so far. And, you know, with Kikaha, I mean, the Saints are fortunate. Edebali's kind of, I mean, he had two sacks in the preseason game. He seems to be turning a corner. So, you know, Davison is turning a corner, defensive tackle. So, I just the silver lining here is that whereas a year ago the roster to me was so thin, thin, they couldn't afford it.
Well,
this year they seem set up for it.
People were saying, well, what if it's a preseason mirage? I said, no, the difference between this year and last year is the linebackers that you're saying can be decent are Stupar. He's an NFL guy. He's an NFL veteran. Robertson, they're NFL veteran guys.
Proven.
Defensive line, it's a little bit of a – it might be a little bit – you never know with Davison, but it's you got Farley and you got other guys. So it's not as terrible, but, I mean, Kevin, these injuries, man, do we have to like – I mean, do we have to do a what do we have to do? Do we have to do a seance? We have to burn a candle? I mean, we're only like a week.
Oh, yeah, I was going to suggest a few novena candles.
Yeah. I mean, dude, you don't want Grayson anywhere near. I know people are like, he's young, blah, blah, blah. Grayson looks fucking terrible to me. And I don't, you know, whatever. He looks like a guy who doesn't have that strong of an arm, doesn't have a quick release, and doesn't really process information that good. But besides that, he's great.
I tell you, Mike Thomas made him look a lot better than he actually was, in my opinion.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the Twitter questions because we have a bunch. Let's see. What are the odds that Onyemata can step up in Rankin's absence? That's from Robert Andrew.
Well, I think this is a huge opportunity for him. I mean, you know, you talk about when injuries happen and it's next man up, and the reality is it used to be really a four-man rotation for me at defensive tackle where, you know, Bobby Richardson can come in on passing downs, and then you've got Fairley, Davison, and Jenkins. So that was kind of the four-man rotation I was envisioning. Well, now it's three, and they need an extra guy in there, so perfect opportunity for Onyemata. I think he was maybe a fringe guy that maybe doesn't make the roster and maybe ends up on the practice squad, but now I think he's clearly in and might get a chance to play some snaps. So, I think with this injury, that probably locks a roster spot for him, and it's going to be an opportunity to get in there.
They won't do like a vet. There's no veteran free agent defensive tackles worth getting, right? I mean, there's...
I don't know. Those guys can become available. You never know.
Yeah. I mean, so this is Adam Fauget. How many dollars will I have left in our auction draft this year? None, Adam, because me and you are going to get in a bidding war over Michael Thomas.
Dude, you're going to be dangerously close to nothing after the sixth round.
Oh,
I was going to say, Ralph will have five picks and no money left.
It doesn't matter. I mean, you just by then you just go bargain bin shopping, you know. But I got some people in the bargain bin last year. It can happen. Kevin, this is from Tay O'Cali. Kevin, do you tell women you're a wrestler on your OKCupid account?
I did. Yeah. Mm.
Some women like the wrestling.
Like I used. You know. Like I like well like I would say it like I had it on. You know, on all when I had all those dating things like the Tinder and the OKCupid and Bumble and all that, I would just say, Bumble. You know, pro wrestler Grindr. On the weekend because one, it's being honest and telling something about yourself, and then two, it's a good icebreaker. Like people will ask, like, wait a
Kevin,
minute,
I know this mean, is kind of a weird question, Kevin. I know this is a weird question, but wouldn't you kind of want to appeal to a woman that isn't into wrestlers? Like, wouldn't you prefer to have a girl that's kind of not into wrestling? Or no?
I don't know.
Okay. I think I get what you're just trying to say, but
he just disparaged.
I'm quite
wrestling.
The charmer, Jude.
He disparaged.
I'm a charmer.
You disparaged all female wrestling fans, is what he did there.
Yeah, pretty much.
This is from Balky. This is from Balky. What sacrifice to the football gods do we need to make to avoid more injuries? Andy Tanner, Vicodin. Andy Tanner and a Vicodin prescription might do it. I think.
Haven't we already sacrificed to Andy Tanner enough?
Would you give up all of next year's draft to have no injuries for the next 5 years?
The entire draft class for no injuries?
The entire draft class and you have no injuries for 5 years.
Done.
Yeah, because you know what then?
Then you get Breeze for 5 years.
Then you can go and be like, Breeze, you want that $60 million guaranteed? There you go. It's all good. So yeah, I would definitely do that. And the way the Saints have been drafted in Elite League, whatever. Kevin, this is for you. We've been through this 1,000 times, but you can do it again if you want. How would you feel if the Saints said fuck it and signed Greg Hardy at least until Rankins comes back?
No. No. I don't care if the Rankin thing I'm listen, all of the defensive line could catch, you know, mono and be out. Do not sign Greg Hardy.
Who's going
to
sign?
I was like, you literally just heard me. I was stunned. I was stunned to find out the team had Cortland Finnegan on the team, and he's just an asshole.
Yeah. Where's
it? He's just an asshole.
Excuse
on the
me.
Field.
The correct term is dirtbag.
The dirtbag. Here's the question. Okay,
whatever. He's just a dirtbag on the field.
Yeah, that's no thing.
So, right. But and I still don't think the team should have him. So, yeah, why would I? Why? How? In what parallel universe am I going to be okay with the Saints signing an alleged domestic abuser?
Somebody's going to sign him during the year, though. And
it shouldn't be the Saints.
It won't be the Saints, I don't think. But Andrew, I think somebody will sign him because somebody will have a bad injury on the defensive line and they'll be in contention and it'll be too much of a problem. And I'll tell you a team that I think would do it because they love to sign problem children. Cincinnati. And they lost
a it's possible.
And they lost a defensive lineman today.
I just think with Hardy, he's made so much. Remember, like when the Panthers basically told him to stay away from the team, they paid him.
Yeah, and the thing about
and the Cowboys, he had like a 1 year, like $18 million deal. So like, if you look at the money he's made over the last 2 years, like I don't think he's gonna play for the minimum.
No,
like, teams aren't gonna sign him unless he takes a prove a deal, and he's in a financial position where he doesn't need to.
And the main thing for him is he would be back in the league. For what he, you know, you can. I'm not defending at all what he did. Look, it's terrible when you can't beat women. But he would be back in the league with his talent if he was just would go through the steps of repenting and do the dance of I'm sorry and do an interview, do a couple of tears, and then just shut up about it. But the problem for him is he's
if he had behaved like Ray Rice is behaving now.
He'd be
on a team.
But he's just the thing with him. He gives no fucks and he's not repentant. And he won't.
Yeah.
He won't do it. You know. So,
I kind of feel like with him, like I felt about Junior Gallette, it reached a point with him and the Saints where I would prefer the Saints to root for the Saints and have them not make the playoffs without Junior Gallette than to make the playoffs with Gallette.
Because that's
the point that I got to with that player, and that's how I feel about Hardy. Yeah. I'd rather not have him and not make the playoffs.
Kevin, this is from Riker. Will another defensive player get put on the PUP list tonight just from watching track and field?
Yeah, because, listen, I think if not tonight, it'll definitely be tomorrow. Something will happen tomorrow because, like clockwork, we record these things, and then something happens.
Yeah. Did you give
Sure.
Did you give WWL Audio the Zika? We give everybody the Zika. We spread it around. It happens, and you know.
Saints Nation Podcast got it from us.
Let's see.
You're welcome.
You're
welcome, Brian.
Let's see. This is from Sir Gumbo. Colston had the cool nickname, the Quiet Storm. Will Michael Thomas's nickname be Holy Fucking Shit?
I think we're gonna have to have a good nickname in short order for him.
I mean, he's got a cool Twitter handle, Can't Guard Mike. I'll give him that. Are we back?
Kevin's good with the nicknames. That's Kevin's department.
Yeah. Are we back to having a team with a
Wang?
Oh, Wang, yeah. This is from Sir Gumbo too, Andrew. Are we back to having a team that can't break 100 yards a game rushing? Not impressed with the run blocking.
Man, it's just one game.
Yeah.
And, you know, honestly, that first drive, I mean, the one good block that Andres Pete had was on the second play right after that big pass to Cooks where he has a terrific lead block and Ingram gains about 9 yards. And then on second and one, he gets the first down, but he fumbles. So, that's really what you ought to concern yourself with is those two running plays because that's what you're going to see. That's the back, and that's the blocking that you're going to see in the regular season.
Here's the thing, Kevin, that surprised me as I started to do a little bit of fantasy research and look at it. Most fantasy plays have Mark Ingram as a top 10 running back, which I was
he catches so many passes.
I was like, wow, he averaged like – he was like 7th or 8th in fantasy points per week. I mean, you know, he never plays a whole year, but, I mean, is Mark Ingram a top 10 fantasy back? Are we there yet?
I think so. Oof. I mean, the Saints aren't really by committee anymore. It's kind of the Mark Ingram show back there.
I mean, that's actually a fair point because when you asked the question, I started wavering. But Juge makes a good point. Like that's he could he could he could be like an 8, 9, or 10.
Wow. I mean, it, you know, the guy who's been really, really quiet, but every now and then you'll see, you'll be like, oh, there's the Spiller that the Saints were expecting. So I don't know what to expect of Spiller. But Andrew, you saw him, and how did he? I didn't ask
you. The less you expect, the better.
Yeah. But Andrew, did you see anything at the Greenbrier that you liked or didn't like, or you didn't really?
I'm kind of with Kevin. I think it's a pleasant surprise if he contributes, but I'm not expecting much. I mean, I expect him to make the team, but you know, I think anything you get from him is kind of bonus. Yeah. I just think he's like a backup guy that hopefully breaks a couple runs or something.
They're not paying him backup money.
No, they're not. They're not. You know, I know that the week before I got there at the Greenbrier, there were a few mentions of his cuts and how good he looked, and that he looked like he had gotten some of his quickness back. I didn't necessarily see that. He did have a pretty good run in that game.
Yeah,
they got called back for a penalty, of course. But you know, so we'll see. I mean, you know. I don't think Spiller can do much worse than he did last year. So my hope is that he'll be a slight improvement over that.
Yeah, I mean, the next preseason game versus the Texans. What, Kevin? Will you be able to watch it?
No.
No.
No. I mean, what are you going to do? You mean it? Give me a lie and say yes, or
yes,
give me a
lie
and say,
we lie
"Oh, I'll cry."
All the time.
No, no, I don't want. I do not listen. I just have a big goddamn problem with watching preseason football.
Yeah, that's fair.
I just do.
I used to.
You know, I'm obsessive. I'm obsessive, and I'm never not going to watch games. But I can totally respect that.
I have to say, I'll give you this, Kevin. The second half of the Patriot game,
it's awful. It's so boring.
I was pushing around my son in a fire truck.
Right, like everybody and their goddamn mother on Twitter and social media is like, "Oh my God, we got this many days left of football." And it's all the gifts of like guys sitting of like people biting their nails and eating nervously and you know, like the dogs doing happy dances or whatever. And guess what? One quarter into the first preseason game,
like, oh,
they take the starters out and it's oh, let me see what else is on. Oh, let me go, you know, help my wife make key lime pie or oh man, I really gotta take the trash down the end of the block or something. It's all that like everybody just, everybody wants to talk big on that, but no, it's preseason football, man. Preseason football.
My thing on preseason.
Yo, everybody winds themselves up over preseason football.
We
ain't even practice.
No, but Kevin.
We're talking preseason football, Allen Iverson.
People are more excited about the possibility of preseason football than actually watching preseason football. That's what it is. The anticipation is more fun than the actual watching. So that pretty much wraps it up. Thanks for the questions to everybody. We try to get to them all. So you can find Andrew at Saints Nation. He's got a bunch of stuff up. Defensive line, other podcasts, lots of fun stuff. I don't know if Dave is still running at Canal Street Chronicles. They're under new. They got new management or whatever there, but Dave will have something. You can find Dave on the Twitters. And you can find me.
Can you even find him on Twitter? I don't even think he does the Canal Street Chronicles Twitter anymore.
I don't know, Dave. You can only get Dave here. And that's why you need to donate.
You can't find Dave unless he's sunken into the abyss. Actually, you know what? I think you can hit up Dave on the Campus Connections Twitter account.
You can.
So you can find him.
Right.
So you need to donate to keep the podcast, to keep the lights on, so you can get your full Dave experience. He'll be back next week, I'm sure. And you can find me and Kevin on the Twitters, arguing about different things and talking about football. And I may or may not try to go out to a Texans Saints practice this week. I don't know. I'll see how that goes. If I do, I'll give you a report next week. But for Andrew, for Kevin, for Dave, who's MIA, I'm Ralph. Until next week, the bar is closed.